continue on with
Pablo.
Pablo's
Okay. So today I will talk about the two-dimensional case. So you cannot see here, this is the Poisson process. It's the same transparency I showed the other day. Here is the Voronoi tessellation. You see several times today. Here is the way you construct the Delaunay triangulation. So after constructing the Delaunay triangulation, you have a graph. And we want to construct, to move the points and have a harmonic graph, in the sense that each one of the points will be in the center of mass of the neighbors. The way this we are going to do that is by constructing harmonic functions. So each one of the coordinates of the graph should be a harmonic function. It's for this reason that we will do one coordinate at a time, and then you construct the new graph with each coordinate is a harmonic function. So this is the reason we will work with harmonic functions. Okay, so we will consider this space here, E1, the space of points and surface. On the points, the point process S and points in S, and then we will call surface a function that comes from this space into the space R. So essentially what we are doing is we have here Rd, and here we have our Poisson process. And then for each one of these points, we give a value eta of S. And S, it depends on S, because this S must be in this one, but we will write only eta of S. Okay, but this... Okay, so... something like that. Okay. Okay, and this is the space of surfaces, and we will say that the surface is harmonic if the Laplacian, so surface H is harmonic if the Laplacian is zero for each S. So in this case, that would mean it will be harmonic if this point is in the center of mass of the two neighbors. Okay. So, with respect to a question that that Gunther was asking me the other day, so when we have in a one-dimensional case, we have a Poisson process here. There are two functions. One is the plane. So this is the plane y equal to x equal to y equal to x. Sorry, and then at this. Each one of these points, we put it in the plane or the line in this case. Okay? And the other one is the counting measure of the Poisson process. So if this is zero, then the counting measure is something like that. Well, this should be one. Okay? Okay, so we have two functions. One is the original plane, and the other is the counting measure for the Poisson process. Okay. This is zero, so this is. Okay, can you see? So let me put crosses for the Poisson process. And circles for the plane. And then So the original function was the plane, and the final function should be the counting measure of the Poisson process. The harmonic function is the counting measure for the Poisson process, because of course this point is in the average of these two. Okay? But this point is not in the average of these two, because the distances here are different. Okay, then if you map your counting process here, then you will find exactly that all the points are at distance one. Okay? And so the harmonic graph will be the mapping of the point process over the edge. Why? Okay, now the point is that we need to do, we will do that in a... Okay, so the one way that you can do it, but I just tell you that this is open, because I don't know how to do it, is to do the same thing but in two dimensions. Now you think that this is R2, and then you take a box lambda from here to here, and then you fix plane boundary conditions outside the box lambda. This is a two-dimensional box or a d-dimensional box. You fix the plane boundary conditions or the hyperplane boundary conditions outside lambda, and you can construct there is a finite number of points inside lambda and with fixed boundary conditions in the plane, and then there is a unique harmonic function like that, that in this case will be just a counting measure for the Poisson process in this box, but the distances will be a finite perturbation of the counting measure. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But, yeah. I didn't listen. I didn't hear. Okay.
Loud. So we are on the point process.
Yes.
The plane.
Yes.
If you look at the Tillany graph and the random box.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because
you are in the
discrete setting.
It's a discrete setting. So you have the Delaunay graph. And then at each point has neighbors, a number of neighbors that is random, depends on the graph. And you want to construct a height such that is the mean of the heights of the neighbors and has a given inclination. Okay. Okay. So one way is to do what I am saying, and then you should try to prove that that there is a limit when lambda goes to Zd of this harmonic function. Okay. We are going to do a different thing. Here is the explicit computation in the thermodynamic limit in d equal 1, but I will skip it. And okay. So let me here introduce the definition of surface inclination. In general, so we take a unit vector u, and the surface eta has inclination I, u of eta, so it's in direction u, so if the following happens. If the limit, so you take a constant k going to infinity, and then take a point s and compute the difference between the height at the center of the Voronoi cell of S incremented by K times U. So you, in the plane, if you are in the plane here, you take, well, I will take a direction U here, that is, in the, later I will take that, but you can take any direction. So you take a point S here, and then you go to S plus KU, and then there is a Voronoi cell containing this point, and this is the center of S plus KU. Okay, and then you compute the height of your function here minus the height of the function here. Okay, and then you ask that this limit converges, and the PAS, and since my so converges, it must be the same, no? And so this is the definition of inclination. Okay. Okay. Now I introduce the harness process we were discussing the other day. For that, I have an operator depending on eta and s. That means that this new configuration ms of eta, or new surface, is a surface where the point, the height of the point s, is put at the average height of the neighbors. This is the definition. So in d, so if for s d equal to s, so d is any vertex, for d equal to x, you put the mean of the neighbors and you keep the other sides the same. So you just come there. So now you have this harness process that has this generator. That means that for all the points in S, you just take the point and put at the mean of the operators, of the neighbors. I discussed it the other day how you can construct it. You put a Poisson process at each a time Poisson process at each vertex, and then at the moments of this time Poisson process, you can you just update. I gave you a proof of existence using a kind of duality. You go back following the sites that influenced the height of the site at the given t, but you can also do it forward by using by going into a small time and showing that there is no percolation. But for that, you have to use some result of Bolovash and I forgot the other author. Well, you need to show that there is no percolation in the Voronoi cell. The other construction doesn't need that. Okay, so here is you have to numerate in some way the Poisson points to associate the space Poisson points to associate the time Poisson process. Okay, now we need to discuss fields. Fields are functions from this space, so from pairs of a space into R. Okay, and we'll drop the dependence, and we define the gradient of a surface is a field. It's just the difference between two neighbors, or the difference between two the height of two sides. Okay, and we will call the field covariant if its height does not depend on the relative position of the origin. Here you people call it translation invariant also, but. Okay. Yeah.
You have not yet, because what you want to get the...
Well, for all times you get the construction.
For finite times.
For all time, for length.
The harmonic function you would see at infinity.
At the infinity, yeah.
And so currently you have not addressed this part yet.
Not yet. Okay. Okay, so here is a theorem that we did with Grisi and Rafael Grisi from São Paulo and Pablo Groisman from Buenos Aires. So you start with the plane that is has inclination one, so like that, no? You have your Poisson process here, and you put the plane here, and then at each side, at each point of the Poisson process, you put the plane position. Okay. And then what we say, then you take the gradients. So you start with this condition, and then eta t is the harness process, so you are updating the process. And then you take the relative height with respect to the height at the origin. And then we say that this converges in L2, that means that eta t minus eta t of 0 minus some function h of s goes to 0. And so the expectation here is with respect to the initial spatial distribution of the Poisson process and the temporal Poisson process, okay, the product measure. And the limit h is a harmonic function, has a covariant gradient, and has inclination 1 in the direction E1. This is what. Okay, let me tell you that the existence of the harmonic function was proven in other setups, essentially in the Berger and Biskup in the percolation in the percolation cluster. So your initial graph is the supercritical infinite percolation cluster, and then you can move the points, or you can construct the harmonic function as here in the infinite volume. And also there is an approach by Mathieu Piatnitsky. Both of them are pretty abstract, but they have constructed it in that way. And in the case of Poisson with energy marks, here energy marks means that it's like a percolation structure that you, at two points, you put an edge with probability e to the minus some constant beta times the distance of the two edges. And this has been done by Caputo, Fagionato, and Prescott. And the construction was also in the same spirit as Berger Biskup. Okay. Okay. In fact, this harmonic function is unique, and this is something that was proven in this paper, Disorder, Entropy, and Harmonic Function, that is in the archive, by Thaï Benjamini, Hugo Dominil Copin, Gadi Kosma, and Ariel Yadin. They prove for this case we are discussing here, but for many other cases, and with great generality, that there are no non-constants, so linear harmonic functions. So that means that if I in our case, I have a harmonic function with inclination 1, I cannot have another harmonic function with the same inclination, okay? Because it would be sublinear. The difference will be harmonic and will be sublinear, so this paper says you that it's not possible. They have a nice, really nice approach using entropy of random walks. And okay, and let's take advantage of that. So finally, they prove that there are, in fact, the harmonic functions. So you have one for each. So you have one for each inclination, yeah, and one for zero inclination. That is a trivial one. No? So you will have one harmonic function for this inclination, the other harmonic function for this inclination, a unique one. And so with the two coordinates, you can construct the harmonic graph, taking okay, so we need to consider this space, the space of fields, as a Hilbert graph with this internal product. So a field is depends on two coordinates that will be S and S prime. So we will take the internal product of two fields as the sum. So we take it in zero. So zero belongs to our Poisson process. So you take the sum C of zero S is the indicator function that S is a neighbor of zero. So you multiply the two positions, the field difference of sides and sum over all neighbors of zeros. Okay, and then also you can compute the expected value or the C of the field as the sum of over the neighbors of zero. Okay, and then this will be a Hilbert space, and we will take essentially covariant fields, so you need only to compute the field at the origin. Okay. Under the pan, yeah. Okay, then if you have a covariant field, and it's, then you have that the if you take the limit, so you take the S in a box, so the points that are in a box, and you take the neighbors of S and compute the field zeta around each point, and then you make the average, then you converge, you call it a C0 limit. So if S is ergodic, you have that that this the limit, these two ways of constructing the of computing the internal product is the same, or the internal product or the expected value of the field. Okay, now this is probably the most important point I want to do, is that is construct the inclination or construct the limit as an inner product. So, I will construct as a field. I will construct a field that will be done the following way. So, suppose that you have a point V and its neighbor W, and then these two points correspond to this boundary, and you have a direction E that will be the unitary vector, and then you take this boundary and project on the direction perpendicular to the vector E. Okay, and call this P E dW. It's the length of, or the area, this in any dimension of the of this projection. Okay. Okay. So here you have these two neighbors dW. PBW is the d-dimensional common side of the cells. P E V W is the D minus one dimensional, the Beck's measure of the projection over the hyperplane perpendicular to E. And V is the projection of V over the line determined by E. So V in fact V will be only to consider the mean. Okay, so you project here and and then you multiply by 1 if this is to the right of V, and by minus 1 if this is to the left of minus V. So this is, so the definition is here. So I there is 1/2. Okay. So the sign of the difference of the two vectors of the projections times the area of the projection of the cell times this is the indicator function that they are neighbors. Okay. Okay. This is a field K. The field K has several important properties. So, well, one of them is covariant. So clear this. And the other is, you see, you have this Voronoi cell, and the projections are the same. You have a Voronoi cell. The projection of these two sides is the same as the projection of these two sides. But these two sides come with a positive sign, and these three sides come with a negative sign. So when you sum all the projections, it's zero. Okay? When you sum all the overall neighbors, you sum overall neighbors, KE, then this gets to zero because these projections are the same. Okay? And then there is this anti-symmetric thing that if you change V and W, then you get minus V and W. Minus the... Okay, now we call J, E of eta, the internal product between the gradients of eta and this field K kappa E. Okay? So the internal product, this is just what is written here. You take neighbors, and then you take the gradients of the surface, multiplied by the surface. That this will be the same in the ergodic case when you take the mean of this thing for all points. Okay? Okay, now we have the following proposition that says that if eta is a surface with covariant gradient, then the original inclination I defined at the beginning is the same as this inclination. It's a kind of expected inclination, PAS. Okay? It's clear or not? It's clear that it's true?
I was laughing about PAS for the formulation.
Well, the idea of the proof is this picture is the proof, in fact. So, in the original inclination, you have... So, this is your... These are the Voronoi cells. I have to compute the this is initial S, say, and this is the final S here. Okay, and here I have the surface eta is outside here, so I have to compute the difference between the height at this point minus the height at this point, and that point is taken to infinity, and this will give you the inclination, okay? Divided by this area, okay? But in fact, the difference of the height between that and that is the telescopic sum of those differences. So the difference between this difference minus this difference, etc. Okay. Okay. Oops.
So could you explain how you define the set of E from this line? So
this set of? I take a line, yes, here, and then I see which are the Voronoi cells that intersect this line. Sorry. Thank you for asking. Yeah. So I take a line and I see which are the points in the process that whose Voronoi cell intersect the line, okay, and this is just almost intersect, but intersect. So you take a telescopic sum along those points will be the same. So the telescopic difference, sum of the difference, will be the same as the difference between this and this. Okay now. You say, well, now you move this line here, okay? And then you want, or you can do the several ways. One thing that you can do is just to take lines at distance epsilon, okay? And then you want to know what is the contribution to this sum, to all these sums. You have a lot of lines, a continuum of lines, if you want, but if not, you discretize with epsilon. And then the contribution of each boundary, for instance, this boundary. So the contribution to this sum of these two points is exactly the projection of this boundary in this direction. Okay? And so if you do, so if you have a box like that, and the inclination should be the same because you have that the inclination is the same for all heights. And then, okay, and then in fact the inclination will be exactly the average inclination will be the contribution of the projection over the perpendicular thing of the boundary times the difference, the average difference of the points. Okay. This is pretty simple but very powerful. Because you have now a way to construct to describe the inclination as the internal product of a surface, of the gradients of a surface with a field, with this kappa field. Okay, then something that you can see easily also is that the inclination, this J inclination, is invariant for the dynamics, because if you when you have your point here, you have your point here, and you change the height here. What you decrease here, increase here, because the projections are the same. Yeah, so it's constant. The inclination is constant for the dynamics. So you will have so this is what I say here: the contribution of the updating of the neighbors of the origin are zero for all things. And here is the computation, but this. Okay, so the sketch of the proof of the theorem is the following. We show that the gradients of the harness process starting with an hyperplane converges to a limit. And the limit field converges to a limit, but you don't know necessarily that this limit is a field, are the gradients of a surface. So you start with, you are all times you have gradients of a surface, but in the limit you don't know if it's a gradient of a surface, but it's a field. And so you have to show that the limiting field is the gradient of a surface and that the surface is harmonic with inclination 1. Okay, so to show this first time, this first point, we showed that the gradients of the process starting with a hyperplane converge to a field. This is kind of abstract nonsense. And then the second point is that... Okay, so recall that eta t is the process with the initial condition hyperplane. Oops. Okay, so, well, there is this is an integration by parts formula, so you have a covariant field and a translation invariant surface, and then you can show this formula. This is called the divergence. The divergence is just the sum over the neighbors of the field. Okay. Now, as we saw in the discrete case, you can prove that the square of the gradient decreases. And this is a consequence of the fact that when you put a point in the mean of the neighbors, then the sum of the squares decreases. And here we have a specific computation that tells you that So you, so this is the C of the of eta t is the sum of the neighbors of the origin. Okay, the expected value of the sum of the neighbors of the sum of the gradients of the square of the gradients of the neighbors of the origin. And then you compute, and this will give you the expected value of the Laplacian to the square divided by the number of neighbors. Okay? And then, since you have that, then and this is decreasing, in fact, so the sum of the square is decreasing, then you have an initial sum of the square that is dominates each one of these, so this is a decreasing function, and this decreasing function is the integral of this of the expected value of the square of the Laplacian. But that means that the square of the Laplacian, so this expectation is integrable from 0 to z, that means that the Laplacian must go to 0. Okay, and you have subsequences going almost surely to zero because the Borel Cantelli, no? Okay.
What about the minus sign?
This is decreasing. Yeah, the okay, so you have this now you have this Hilbert space, so you know that you have a weak convergence of the gradients to a final field or to a field zeta infinity in this weak sense, so that you if you take the gradients and the internal product with any field in H, then this converges, so this is a number, converges to some field, the internal product with this H. So there exists a field in H, it's theta infinity, such that this weak convergence holds. Okay? Then you can show that this limit is unique. It's half a page proof, but essentially you prove that using integration by parts and prove that the limit is unique. And then you can also prove that this weak convergence in fact is a strong convergence in the sense that it's an L2 convergence. So that the gradients converge to the limit in L2. And the limit will be also covariant, and they will have a zero divergence. So so the Laplacian will be zero for the limit. Okay, to show that the limit is gradient, you use that the L2 convergence. It's so to prove that the field is gradient, you have to show that the cocycle property is satisfied. So if you go to any finite cycle, the sum should be zero. Okay? You should come to zero. So, and this you can show at any time, you can show this cocycle property. But then, if you have that the subsequence, if you have a subsequence that converges almost surely, then the cocycle property of each one at each time transport to the limit, so the limits must satisfy also the cocycle property. Okay, but for that you need really this convergence in L2 to be able to do that. Okay, then with these two elements, with this and this, you have that the limit is a gradient of a surface, and the surface is harmonic because the divergence is zero. Okay, the divergence will be the Laplacian for the surface. Okay, and then the inclination part is the easy part now, because since KE is a field, then and this is constant So this field is constant. So this that means that the infinite surface will have the same inclination as the initial one. And so this is thing. Okay. In fact, you can do that. How is my time now? 20? 20? What? In fact, you don't need really a Poisson process. You need a mixing process to get the one-dimensional law of large numbers for the inclinations. Then here you need some condition for the existence of the Voronoi cells, but probably you can also generalize this to the... This condition is not satisfied for the... for the infinite cluster in ZD, but you can probably do this approach in that case also. And then you have you need that the exponential of the of C is finite. And this W is, I think that this is the volume of the Voronoi cell, and here is here is the Lebesgue measure. I think that this is the same as here. The Lebesgue measure of the Voronoi cell has a square moment. Okay, now let me tell you some open problems. So we need that would be nice to show this following uniform sublinearity of the corrector. So, because the corrector is the difference between the plane and the harmonic position. So this is, so if you have the plane here, and here you have the harmonic, and the corrector is this difference here, at this. So uniformly means that you take the difference between the H of S and pi of s. This is a plane and this is the harmonic function, and then you would like a supremum of s in lambda inter s of that, and then you would like to say that this goes to zero when divided by modulo of s. And this seems to be difficult. Is proven in some cases by Biskup, Berger and Biskup, but it's not in general in this case. The other thing is the thermodynamic limit that I was mentioning at the beginning. So you put these plane boundary conditions in the box, and would like to show that the limit is harmonic and converges to the same thing. And the other thing is to show the real almost sure convergence of eta t, because our convergence is in some sense is in L2. We have this convergence, the almost sure convergence for the gradients only along subsequences. And then a simple extension would be to compute for other Hamiltonians. I mean, instead of taking the Laplacian, you can take to minimize to take the P Laplacian, for instance, to minimize other functions. But in that case, I think it will be more difficult. Okay, then finally, here is how you pass from the harmonic surfaces to the harmonic graph. So you take a function h that goes from the point process to Rd. So h, so this will be really the translation of the point in each one of the coordinates. So h1 of s and hd of s are the coordinates of h of s, and so you have that the graph h is harmonic if and only if each one of the coordinates are harmonic surface, and then you take each one of them with inclination 1 in the direction ei, no? So the harmonic, so h will be this vector, and this graph h of s with e tilde is a, will be a sublinear perturbation of s. This will be equivalent to say that each one of the hi has inclination 1 in the direction ei. Okay. Okay, so, and this is the pictures. So from this picture, then taking the different harmonic functions, then you finally go to this one. Yep.
Can you explain better how you move from one to the other?
Ah, sorry. okay, so I have this picture, and then I constructed a harmonic function with inclination 1. Okay. Okay, so this, and then I construct another a harmonic function with inclination 1 in this direction. Okay, so this, to this point, that we'll have two coordinates, h1 of s and h2 of s.
And this image point is the next.
Yeah, okay. And this is for each one of these points.
And you keep the edges of the initial triangulation between these points.
Yeah. When I compute the harmonic function, I didn't move the points. I just found a real number that related to the other real number are in the is harmonic.
Okay, but for the pair of
harmonic
function, then you have two real numbers.
I have two real numbers.
You map them to a new point process.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have this elastic thing, if you want, that this edge is elastic. So when I move these 2 points, the edge accompanies them. And then when you do that, then you find this.
Okay, it is not the Lorentz triangulation.
No. This is almost the Lorentz triangulation. In the sense that there are a few points that are not Delaunay triangulation, because the condition of the Delaunay triangulation is if you have a rhombus here, the Delaunay triangulation will cross the shorter, will have the shorter diagonal always.
And so do
they
get
it
correct that this new point process is stationary?
The new point process is stationary
in R2.
In R2, yes. There is a triangulation, but this triangulation is not the Delaunay triangulation. You can construct examples where it is more convenient to have the other edge instead of having this edge. It's more convenient to have the other edge. But this is just a few points that are not right. It's nicer. It's more harmonic. Yeah, exactly. But you keep a lot of memory about the. No, sorry. You see. For instance, this thing appears here. Okay. Yep. It moves a little bit. This point moves here. Okay, so this is the Voronoi cells of the Poisson process, and this is the Voronoi cells of the new process.
So now you forget about this no longer the other triangulation.
No, you have points, yeah.
The true Voronoi. The one is the true Voronoi tessellation on this new point.
No, this was the original tessellation.
Okay.
And this is the one that corresponds to the new points, okay. To the new position of the points.
So, of course, it keeps the intensity. This point process will have the same intensity, but.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, I think I finished here. Let me see if I want to. Okay. No, again, here are the references. Okay, sorry, I finished before, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Which one? This is just a Poisson.
This point process, so to speak, has the same intensity.
Yeah.
The same topological structure. But it's not just a factor of the language of Paris and others. It's constructed by a dynamical
procedure. It's a factor.
Sorry?
It is a factor.
It's a factor.
I constructed it with a dynamical procedure, but I could have constructed with a... But it probably is true that you can have a system of equations, differential equations that take it smoothly
okay.
To that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
More interesting.
Yeah.
When you say it's a factor, so it is because all the dynamics actually...
Because it's unique, something. Yeah.
There is apparently some external knowledge, but it's not there. Because
No.
All the omegas coming from the harness and the...
Yeah.
It's sort of a differential equation.
Yeah. Of course, there is a modulus translation. No? But if you put the origin at the origin... Some open problem that I didn't mention is if you start with the plane and then you start moving like that, then the origin, the height at the origin that was originally at zero will also move. And so it would be nice to know how much it moves.
It moves finitely?
No, I don't think so, no. Maybe in dimension 3 it moves finitely.
So, you have this beautiful pathwise construction. So, is there any way to look at the past and to try to prove this inertial convergence by?
I tried a bit, but I couldn't get the almost sure convergence. Yeah. That would be nicer because this is a bit dirty in some sense.